from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Porch rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Welcome in. It is the Abe TL Show live in the Kia Studios here on a Sunday afternoon. A lot going on today as we are getting you set for League's Cup action in about 3 hours. Of course, the pregame show, the Five Stripes Countdown for Atlanta United, coming your way at 3 o'clock. But until then, it is all Abe Gordon all the time with a little bit of Eric Slaughter thrown in the mix. Eric Slaughter with me today, having a little fun, taking you through the afternoon on a Sunday as we wrap up a very busy sports weekend. It kind of got started this whole weekend, by the way. I don't know if you guys have felt this way. Maybe it's my work schedule. Maybe it's just timing of things. I don't know. None of the days have felt like the days they are. Like, Friday didn't feel like Friday to me. Saturday didn't feel like Saturday. And today certainly doesn't feel like a Sunday. But I'm going to wake up tomorrow, and I guarantee you I realize it's Monday. That's the one day that somehow always feels like the day it is, doesn't it? I mean, you go through the whole week, days could feel off. You get to that Monday, though, you're going to know it's a Monday. And I'm sure that'll be the same unfortunate feeling as it always is. We've got 2 hours here, again, before the Five Stripes Countdown. I got a lot to get to. We got the Braves putting a little pressure on the Phillies, perhaps. Making a little run, turning a corner, whatever you want to call it. Seems to be that, speaking of not knowing which day it is, they seem to have gotten up on the right side of the bed more often than not recently. So we'll talk about that throughout the show. As you are aware, I am probably more into the Olympics than certainly than anyone here at 92.9 The Game. I would say than like 94% of the entire country. Like, I'm probably more into the Olympics than, like, of the people who don't cover the Olympics, like, as a job. I'm like the notch below. Waking up early, setting the alarm, checking out all sorts of events. Like, a lot of people are tuned into swimming. I can understand that. I mean, the golf and tennis was phenomenal today. Fabulous. I tried to combine those two words. It didn't go so well. That's the sleep, man. That's what waking up at 4 a.m. will do to you to watch track and field. Speaking of track and field, we got some action going on right now. And in a little bit, it is the last day, by the way, of swimming. Today's the last day of swimming, and we are just getting started at track and field. But we know what happened with Sha'Carri Richardson yesterday. We'll talk about that when we talk a little bit more Olympics in a little bit. But Noah Lyles, going to try and get a little rebound for him because he did not win his heat yesterday morning in the 100. They had the semis and the finals today in the men's 100. The semis just a couple of minutes away, sometime after 1:30, I think maybe 1:35-ish, something like that. So we'll know. And it's a very difficult heat. You look at the heats in the 100, it's just like that guy could win, this guy could win, that guy could win. So very difficult heat for Noah Lyles. We'll keep you up to date with what's going on there. Also, just about 15 minutes away from first pitch for the Atlanta Braves, and Max Fried returns to the mound. And after last night's loss, disappointing after holding a 3-1 lead in that one, it's going to be real interesting to see, because I think Max Fried is either going to catapult the Braves to continue the run that they've been on, or he's going to be a quicksand-like mentality. And if he's good, I think the Braves are going to continue to roll through their rotation. But if Max Fried is not, I think we have a real problem. And I don't want to throw everything on one start, but that's kind of where we are, unfortunately. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. We mentioned Atlanta United hosting Santos Laguna today, 4 p.m. They need a win. It can come in regulation. It can come in the PK shootout. But they need a win if they're going to advance in League's Cup. Again, a very forgiving format. 32 teams make it to the next stage. So DC United already has won the group. Atlanta United can advance with a win in regulation or a win in the penalty kick shootout today. Jason Longshore is going to join us just over 10 minutes from now. Chat a little bit about Atlanta United, but also a couple of other stories regarding soccer in this country, men's and women. So we'll deal with that. And we're going to talk a lot more Braves in the second hour. We'll also go outside the perimeter in the 2 o'clock hour as well. I want to start things off, though, with the Atlanta Falcons. Look, this is a big week for the Atlanta Falcons. I think some would argue, in fact, I would argue, that how the NFL has kind of approached the preseason in recent years, this is the biggest week of training camp for the Falcons. The biggest week in the lead up to the season for the Atlanta Falcons. And that is not because they play a preseason game on Friday. No, no, no. That is because they are heading down to Miami on Monday afternoon evening. They got practice tomorrow at Flowery Branch. We are going to be there. But after that, they are heading down to Miami for joint practices on Tuesday and on Wednesday. And look, it's probably going to be where the team learns the most about itself. It's probably going to be where the team answers the questions that they've been waiting to answer. Is it the moment where certain players take a lead in position battles, where certain rotations along the defensive line get a little bit more set? I don't want to go too far and draw it up and say it's concrete and what happens there is how it's going to look. But I do think it's the biggest step in the offseason. And look, we talk about Clark Phillips, Mike Hughes. I think it's the first big step in deciding that. We talk about how close to 100 is Kirk Cousins. You're not going to find out against our team, but against the Dolphins, maybe. Just maybe. And so it's a big week for the Atlanta Falcons. I'll say this. I kind of want them to have a joint practice here at Flowery Branch in the next year. Like, we've gone down to Miami a couple of times. I'd love to have the Dolphins or whomever else it might be here. I'd love to attend one of these. And hopefully maybe next year that can be the way. So we'll keep that going. Again, Braves dropped one late last night. Grant Holmes ran into trouble in the fifth inning. He got through 4 2/3 and then ran into trouble there on that final out. Probably a bit overextended. Long inning reliever that tried to turn into a starter. Tried to get him in position for a win, but unable to do so. And maybe we think better about giving him, that fifth inning, the third time through the order, stuff like that. Overall, though, a decent outing for him. The Phillies also lost. They've got six straight losses, and so the Braves are putting a little bit of pressure on them. I don't really have an explanation on what's been different. I really don't. Like, I try and look at it and trying to figure out what the turning point is. I don't have one. And you, like, if we're going to be honest, like, neither do you. Like, there is no obvious, here's what happened and here's why it's different. It just is. And, you know, I'm going to be okay with that. The NL East, somehow, some way, the NL East is still right there for the taking. You got a couple series with the Phillies down the road, one in about 2 weeks from now. It's a five-game lead right now. Again, they're playing the Dodgers coming up. Maybe you can get a win today. Maybe they pick up another loss. I mean, look, there's no reason it can't be two or one by the time you see them. So we'll see how that comes together. Max Fried, we mentioned, he's going to be back on the bump today. We'll see what he looks like. I think that can be certainly a jumping-off point to continue the upward trend for the Braves. Ronaldo Lopez, though, has yet to throw a bullpen session. I think if the Braves could do it over again, they probably would have placed Ronaldo on the IL. But at this point, the way the rules work, you can't backdate it all the way to his last outing. You can only backdate it a couple days. So that would every day that you don't place him on extends it another 7 days, essentially, or another week's worth. So we'll see. Hopefully he gets to a bullpen session soon, and maybe he can roll through it. But it's also going to come down to Max Fried today, and that's the first step, is getting Max Fried not only back on the bump, but feeling comfortable with his outings. We mentioned Atlanta United against Santos. Ronald Hernandez, if you missed it yesterday, they announced that he has an MCL injury, so he's going to miss 4 to 6 weeks. Santos has not been good. As a matter of fact, I would go as far to say they have been bad recently. But it is still win or go home, and so Atlanta United does need a positive result. We mentioned the Olympics today. Men's tennis, men's golf, those were the two big highlights early in the day. We've now got swimming going on. We now got track and field going on. We mentioned Noah Lyles will be running in the semifinals of the men's 100 in a couple of minutes. So keeping an eye on that, if you heard in the Olympic update to start the hour. Bobby Fink, the first individual gold medal for a male swimmer, U.S., at these Olympics. It continues an over 100-year tradition of at least one individual gold for men, and a world record in the men's 1500. And he got a silver, I believe, in the 800. Obviously, these are the same events that Katie Ledecky has dominated, but a world record, a gold medal for Bobby Fink there in the 1500. Just an outstanding swim. I think he was in lane 7 or 8. Very impressive there, and then we'll see what goes on with Noah Lyles in a little bit, the men's 400 running their early stages. Mike Norman getting ready to take off here. He's going to be one of the favorites as we continue through this Olympic schedule. So that's what you got going on right now. We'll talk more Olympics at 1:40. We'll get into the Braves again at 2:20, especially now that we'll, by then, have a couple of innings under our belt in regards to what Max Fried is doing. But coming up next, I want to get back into Atlanta United and into Olympic soccer. Our good buddy Jason Longshore is going to join us. Going to welcome him in and kind of run the gamut. And I don't even know where I'm going to start. I think I'm just going to ask him, do you want to start with Olympic soccer? Or do we want to start with United? And we'll see where the conversation takes us. But very excited to talk to Jason Longshore on the other side. It is the Abe TL Show, live from the Kia Studios. Abe Gordon here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, it really is like prime sports ADHD, ADD time. Like when you've got the men's 400 in Stade de Paris there on the right screen. You've got the 4x100 medley relay men's on the left screen. You got the Braves getting ready to start up. And, of course, in a couple of hours, Atlanta United. It is just a great day of sports. Some incredible tennis earlier this morning, an incredible run on the golf course from a guy that's had one of the best seasons in recent memory. It's all coming together, and we got Noah Lyles in a couple of minutes that's going to take the track as well. See if he can get a little get back from Sha'Carri Richardson getting a silver yesterday. We'll see if he can claim world's fastest man or not. But as we mentioned, part of that group of events taking place today is Atlanta United in League's Cup action. And I want to head out to the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and welcome in our good friend Jason Longshore, Atlanta United analyst, host of Atlanta Soccer Tonight, and been a busy, busy weekend for him, as it always is, on the call for the Twos last night. They picked up three more points, and that was a game that could be heard right here on 92.9 The Game. So awesome stuff there. Jason, let me start here, because I got a lot of different places to take you. Do you want to start with Atlanta United right now, or would you like to do a little bit of Olympic discussion?
Dealer's choice.
All right, let's get to the women's Olympic discussion real quick. Obviously, the U.S. women, an incredible golazo from Trinity Rodman, just a left-footed, bending, upper nine, just an incredible strike yesterday and as they advance. And they're now going to – that was against Japan in extra time. Now they'll face Germany. But the question I have for you is the debut of Emma Hayes. And how does this team look dangerous? How does this team look different for her in her first big tournament as a manager?
It's been good. I think we're only really scratching the surface of what Emma Hayes's effect is going to be on this women's national team, because she hasn't really had the group for all that long of a period of time. The deeper you go in this tournament, that actually helps a little bit. You're not training per se, but you're able to get to know people, get to know personalities, get to know their playing personalities a little bit more. What I like that she's settled on, and I had questions when you went away from, I don't want to say a traditional nine, but Alex Morgan, who has led the line for this team for so many years and does such a great job of bringing others into the play. You went with the front three of Sophia Smith, of Mallory Swanson, and of Trinity Rodman. And you don't really have like that one true nine down the middle with that group. All of them are capable of it. All of them are capable of dropping a little deeper. All of them can play in wider positions. And it's that fluidity between those three that, to me, has been the hallmark of this team in this Olympic Games. And you get three players who are all comfortable with one another, are good friends off the field, and their chemistry is just undeniable. I think Swanson might be one of the best players in the world after coming back from injury, and that's not easy to accomplish. I think you see how important she would have been in the last World Cup, but was injured earlier in 2023. She's back on fire right now. Sophia Smith is outstanding. And Trinity Rodman, if she starts adding goals like that to her game, then this U.S. attack is as good as it gets in the world.
They also just, and not like in previous tournaments they haven't, it just, and I know this is such a dumb comment, people have used it as to like why the Braves have struggled this season, but like, they just seem to be smiling more. They just seem to be having fun. And that comes with when you are scoring 3-4 goals a game. But it correlates to being loose out there. I think that's what you saw from Trinity Rodman. She said she blacked out. She said she received the pass and didn't remember anything until the ball had hit the back of the net. It just goes to being a loose environment, a fun team to be on right now.
It goes to being a team that can play on instinct as well. And Rodman is such a creative player. She loves the skill moves. She loves to go 1v1 with players. I think what has jumped out to her at up to this stage of her career has been her ability to create chances. If she starts adding the goals to it, then you're talking about one of the best players in the world and one of the most impactful players in the world. This group just, you never know how chemistry is going to come together. You never know when you put a group of 18 players and some alternates, you know, on a trip to Europe, and are they going to get along? Are they going to have fun? Are they going to be cool with one another off the field? You never know until you get there. This group, I think it's a little younger. I think they're all kind of on the same like vibe, and they're all kind of on the same like area in terms of how they want to establish themselves as top professionals and carry that mantle of what it means to play for the U.S. women's national team, where everybody's gunning for you. It's just a fun group to watch, and I can't wait to see them in the semifinal.
Jason Longshore joining us here, Atlanta United analyst, but also covers all things soccer, especially on Atlanta Soccer Tonight, in which he is host of. And so I want to switch from the men's, from the women's to the men's. And obviously we're going to have a different tone this short discussion. But look, it was disappointing. The score lines were totally embarrassing. Twice in four games, you got ran off the field. Now, I understand it was a good first competitive half against France, but at the end of the day, the score line was what it was. And then obviously you get thrust aside by Morocco. So it's a U23 tournament, but what are your general takeaways from the quarterfinal exit?
Yeah, I think number one, it is a U23 tournament. So, and it's not even your best U23s. You're missing some players that would be age eligible for that. So they did, honestly, about what you should have done. France was going to be a difficult matchup at home in the opener. It proved to be, although it was a good start, I think up until the second goal, it was a good performance. You've got to convert on your chances when you have them to get back in the game. And that's kind of the story with Morocco as well. It's a good performance up until they take the lead. You have a chance to level it with one of your overage players, our old friend Miles Robinson. And he's a center back for a reason, not a forward, but it's an opportunity that falls to him. If that goes to 1-1, we're having a very different conversation. Like, game state is such a key element when you get into tournament play. We talk about it a lot with Atlanta United, but tournament play, it changes everything in these games when that goal is scored. And after the U.S. had to start chasing the game more, you're in 1v1 situations, and you go back and you look at the Nathan Harriel 1v1 where he gets caught for pace out wide on the right. You look at the Kevin Paredes one on the left where he goes up to try to win the ball, and he doesn't win the ball, and he doesn't commit the foul and stop the break, and you're exposed. When you get to that point, there are some differences when you're talking about this U.S. men's roster against some of the matchups that they faced, especially with France and Morocco. It was about what you would expect it would be. And I don't know if we really learned anything new. I think some players got valuable minutes in these kinds of games, which is good as they try to progress into the senior national team picture. I think Tanner Tessman is definitely one to watch. But beyond that, I think they met the expectation, and unfortunately the results are going to be remembered more than that.
Jason, look, I'm not going to lie, because Caleb Wiley is always kind of going to be our guy here in Atlanta. I was disappointed not to see him more. I really was.
Yeah, me too. And it's tough when you get into these kinds of conversations, whether we're talking like age group or national team, where there's two talented players in the same position. And in this case, there is. John Tolkien and Caleb Wiley are both very good, are both strong left backs. I would have liked to have seen Wiley more as well. And it's not a knock on Tolkien. I don't think Tolkien was bad in this tournament. You look at one of the goals that's conceded, and again, it's after two or three mistakes ahead of time. He's a little slow to come across to follow the runner who came from the outside in to the near post. And that's one that we've seen Caleb Wiley make that defensive play. So I would have liked to have seen Wiley more for sure. But when you're looking at these age group tournaments and you're a coach and you have to think big picture as well as short term, Tolkien, this was his opportunity at the Olympics. Wiley will have another one. And I think that's something to keep in mind, is he's really ahead of schedule when it comes to this age group and when it comes to where he is, I think, in the overall national team pool. He should be with the U-20s right now, and he jumped ahead to the U-23s and the Olympics. That's a credit to him, and I can't wait to see what he does over in Europe at Strasbourg, which we're expecting that loan will be announced any day now.
And one more question here, Jason Longshore, Atlanta United analyst, host of Atlanta Soccer Tonight here on 92.9 The Game. One more question for the men before we do dive into a couple of things I have for Atlanta United. But look, there have been some rumors that started up last night. If they do end up becoming true, just any initial thoughts on Pellegrino Matarazzo, who may be the next manager of the U.S. men's national team?
My question would be, he doesn't have the experience in terms of national team work, and that's a very different animal than a club team. But I do really like what he's done at the club level. And I think when you're talking about his impact on a team versus some of the other names that have been mentioned as either candidates or rumors or hopes from some in the media, I think he is a very interesting candidate. I would like to see at least the conversations be had. He's got to convince U.S. Soccer that he can make the jump from the club level to the national team. It's a big ask. I do like that he's also kind of outside the system, outside the bubble a little bit. I'm okay with that. I think he'll come in with a fresh set of eyes, and he'll also, though, understand the American player and the American mentality. So a lot to like about it, but I don't think it's an absolute slam dunk.
All right, Jason, I got three questions for Atlanta United here. We got about 4 or 5 minutes to get through them all, so let's get through it. Ronald Hernandez, an injury was announced yesterday morning. MCL is going to cost him 4 to 6 weeks. Does that set the stage, maybe starting today, for Pedro Amador's addition to really be felt by this club?
Yeah, I think it has to. I hate it for Ronald, who has been so good as of late, and we've had the chance to talk to him after games here lately. Just such a good guy, and a guy that you root for, and a guy that has been a club guy since walking in the door. He's done everything for Atlanta United, and I hate that when he's getting a consistent run of games and playing really well, an injury pops up and takes him out of that. The question with Amador is going to be fitness. You know, he was in an off season. I'm not sure where his fitness was when he walked in the door. He hasn't had a ton of time. I think 90 minutes would be a big, big ask for him. Is it possible? Perhaps. Depends on the pace of the game today. If it's not, then you're looking at, you know, Luis Abram sliding over to play the left back, which we have seen, or Matt Edwards potentially taking that spot. But I think Amador is good enough fitness-wise to start and get you fairly deep into the second half.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that coming up, myself and Garrett Chapman. the Five Stripes countdown, the potential of Matt Edwards having a bigger role with this team over the next couple of weeks. But we'll save that for about 90 minutes from now. Look, the stage is set here, Jason. It is League's Cup, the final day of group stage action for Atlanta United. I know there's some games in group stage tomorrow as well across the tournament. But for Atlanta United, it's today, and they have to win or win in penalty kicks. So what are some of the on-field challenges that Santos Laguna is going to present to today?
I think facing a team like Santos right now, it's a different style. It's Liga MX has a different feel. So there is a little bit of an extended kind of getting to know you period in the match early on. Santos hasn't been very good lately. They haven't scored a lot of goals lately. They're missing some pieces in their attack due to injury. But they're also hitting that desperation phase, and they really could care less how they win. It's all about winning for them. They need something. Nacho Ambriz is a very good manager. He was a league champion just a few years ago with León. You're talking about a very proud man who is struggling and probably getting to that point where job's on the line pretty close here with Santos Laguna. They need a win, and if that means they have to be defensive and sit a lot of numbers behind the ball and look to hit you on the break, they won't have any problem doing that. So that makes it difficult. You have to be able to break teams down. And Atlanta United, without Alexi Maranchuk, who won't be available just yet, got to get his visa, got to get him into the building and get him trained up. But you've got to find a way to break this team down, because I expect they'll put some numbers behind the ball and just try to extend this game at 0-0 as long as they can.
And Jason Longshore, Atlanta United analyst, final question for you. You mentioned Alexi Maranchuk. This is the first question I'll ask you about him, and then between now and when he actually debuts, I'm sure I'll have a couple of more. I actually don't want to focus on him necessarily. I want to ask you, in regards to his chance creation, who's the other player, not him, but who else benefits maybe the most from adding Maranchuk to the middle and to the offense?
Oh, I think there is a little bit of we have to wait and see, who else is going to get added. When Carlos Bocanegra spoke to the media, he said attacker. I know most have taken that to mean a striker. I don't think it necessarily is. You and I have both heard Garth Lagerwey in our pregame shows where he has mentioned winger as well. So let's hold that just a little bit. But I do think it could be the wingers who benefit a lot from having Maranchuk into the mix, because Daniel Rios is getting his opportunities and he's absolutely taking advantage of them right now. So if you get more for him, that's great. If he gets the opportunity to score more goals, I have no problem with that. But I think it could be the wingers not having to create for themselves, but having that number 10 who can create opportunities for them. It just makes the attack more difficult to deal with because there's more weapons, there's more options for where those chances are going to be coming from. I think the wingers could be the ones that benefit the most.
Atlanta United hosting Santos, Leagues Cup action. The call will start at 4 o'clock. Myself and Garrett will handle the 3 o'clock hour. Jason, look forward to hearing what you've got to say as they try and advance to the knockout round of 32. Thanks so much for joining me.
See you in a bit.
There you go, Jason Longshore. And we'll follow up on that again at 3 o'clock, the Five Stripes countdown. Coming up next, Noah Lyles just about to take the track, so probably a perfect and appropriate time to get into a little bit of Olympic discussion. What's been happening over the last, say, 22 hours since I exited the air? Actually, that's almost 24 hours ago. So what's been going on? A lot of Olympic action today. A lot of medals being handed out, including the United States women's relay swim team currently leading Australia. We'll find out if they hold on the other side. It's the Abe TL Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app. Well, the U.S. women did hold on in the 4x100 medley relay. They smoke Australia and the rest of the field. A world record. And for those of you who maybe haven't been paying attention, first off, it's a little late to start paying attention to swimming now. It's like two races left. That might have been it, actually. Tori Husk for the United States just had an incredible run of results here. And so congratulations to her. Gretchen Walsh had a couple and the whole medley team there. So another world record in that one. Very, very cool. I also just saw a tweet from FIBA 3v3 basketball. The Netherlands are heading to the semifinals, and they do so, unfortunately, by beating the USA team 21-6. Men's 3x3 basketball put up 6 points in a loss to the Netherlands. That is, I hesitated to say this word yesterday. I'm going to go ahead and say it today. That's pathetic, man. And it doesn't have to be like that. Like, it should be so easy to find three dudes that can win it. Again, like, what is Jaylen Brown doing? Like, he's not going to tear those Netherlands? He can't beat the best three players in the Netherlands? And I already said it. In L.A. 2028, LeBron, Durant, and Curry should be your 3x3 team. I don't care if they're out the league. I don't. They're going to tear these dudes up. What are we waiting on? I'll tell you what we are waiting on, and that is Noah Lyles in the 100 meters. Semifinals are coming up in a little bit, so hoping to see him advance. But before that, we got some other stuff to take care of. We're finishing out the rounds of the 400 meters, and so these are just the prelims, so we're all qualifying heats. Again, welcome back into the Abe TL Show. It's Abe Gordon here, and certainly, if you've heard at all, the Olympics are going on, and they are like my lifeblood right now. Look, at different times, I live for different things, and sometimes it's a very odd sporting event. Certainly when the World Cup is on, I'm not going to miss a match. Like, I will not miss a match. I will wake up at whatever time need be and deal with it. And that's kind of what's happening right now. Alarm hit very early this morning to watch some of the track and field. I was watching the women's 400-meter hurdles. I'll get to that in just a moment. I was watching the men 110. And, boy, my guy, the Flamingo, Grant Holloway, is looking good. He is looking real good. So, again, the early stages there, but we'll see what happens as we move forward. Speaking of the women's, let's go there real quick. The women's 400-meter hurdle, they're getting close to narrowing down the field, but it's really down to two people. It is Sydney McLaughlin of Roney of the United States, the current world record holder, and it is Femke Bol of the Netherlands. And I don't know how many of you had an opportunity to see the 4x400 mixed relay yesterday, but Femke Bol announced herself to, and look, those of us who have been passionate about track and followed it have known about Femke Bol for a couple of years now, but for some, it was their first time finding out that there is a young lady in the Netherlands who can hawk down almost anyone she wants. And yesterday, she shined in the 4x400. She nabbed an incredible anchor leg as they passed the United States there in the final. So that's what you got. Speaking of the short distances, Sha'Carri Richardson, silver medal. And it may seem disappointing, and it is disappointing, but I don't know what else she could have done. I don't want to take anything away from Julian Alfred, who was an incredibly deserving gold medal winner. She beat Sha'Carri Richardson in the semis. She then beat her again in the finals. And Melissa Jefferson of the U.S. able to snag a bronze. And we mentioned it coming up soon. Noah Lyles, Kenny Bednarik, Fred Curley in the men's 100 meters. That's probably 6 or 7 minutes away from getting going. So we're going to keep an eye on that. The one guy I thought was I don't remember if it was you or it was Oren or Dom. I talked about, like, if I had $1,000 or whatever money you want it to be, and I had to bet it on one person or team to win an event for the Olympics, I said and this is why people look at me weird, like, why do you even know that? I said Ryan Crouser in the shot put was going to be my guy.
He just did it, right?
He did yesterday. Yeah, they're re-airing a little bit of it.
He's a big boy.
Yeah. And he's won the last two gold medals, and he was in – he had a slight injury, but he was in pretty good form at the U.S. Olympic trials too. And so I was like, that's my guy. If I had to get one guy, it would have been him. Mm-hmm. And it would have been Grant Holloway, but, like, you can nick a hurdle, and I get nervous about that. But he's, like, very clearly the best hurdler in the 110s. But Ryan Crouser, and so he won his third straight shot put. But the real drama wasn't Crouser winning gold. It was Joe Kovacs, also an American, winning the silver.
Oh, right, yeah.
It started to rain after about the third round. And so everyone's throw was in a downpour. And obviously, when you're spinning at the speed you need to spin at to get the shot put the distance you need, very difficult to keep your footing. There were a lot of red flags, which means you fouled on the throw. And Joe Kovacs was out of medal position until his very last throw. He hossed one out there, and he jumped all the way into silver. Unfortunately, it did knock an American out of the bronze medal position. The Jamaican also got bumped down from silver to bronze. But Joe Kovacs with a silver there in the men's shot put. Early this morning, Scotty Scheffler shot a course record 62 in the final round as he wins the Olympic golfing gold medal. Just an incredible performance for him. And odd back nine for John Rahm, who had a three-shot lead, turning there and just could not hold on. You also had Djokovic, and I talked about the highlights of the morning today. Certainly Scottie Scheffler, but also the men's gold medal tennis match. It was everything you wanted it to be. Djokovic and Alcaraz. It was Novak Djokovic in straight sets, but both of those sets went to a tiebreak. It was about as close as a straight set victory as you could have. So really good stuff there. Also yesterday, after I went off air, Katie Ledecky won the 800 meters for the fourth straight time. There is a very short list of athletes that have won the same event in four straight Olympics. I know Michael Phelps has done it. I want to say that was in the 200 medley, but it may have been the 400 IM. Carl Lewis did it in the long jump. And now Katie Ledecky has done it in the 800. Now, remember, they didn't have the 1500. They haven't been holding that for four Olympics. So she would have in that race as well. And so there's that. But she obviously did not win the 400 free. She won the 1500. And the 800 was like that middle distance, like, can Arianne Titmus stick with her? Not far off, but not quite. And then Suni Lee this morning. You know, they're doing, we talked about it, the apparatus finals. And Simone Biles won the vault yesterday. Suni Lee this morning got a bronze medal in uneven bars. So good for her. We talked about the men's 3x3 team. They got obliterated by the Netherlands. The women's 3x3 team seems to have started doing a couple things right. They've played their way into the knockout rounds as well. And then congrats to, among others, Chase Buttinger, the former NBAer, former McDonald's All-American. He and his partner in beach volleyball, all four beach volleyball teams for the U.S. have reached the quarterfinal stage. And so really cool stuff there. I was watching that match. It was one of the last events to be aired yesterday. So two men's and two women's teams in beach volleyball advance. And look, I'm just so pumped still. Like, we got the 100 coming up. We had the 200-meter women's early this morning among some of the other events that were being run. We got some distance runs coming up, which you guys know I love. We got the torturous 800s. That's the worst run possible. It really is. We'll get a little Jakob Ingebrigtsen action, who's, you know, from Norway, one of the elite middle distance runners on earth. Looking forward to him. And coming up in just a couple of minutes is Noah Lyles here. And Eric, I want to ask you, after seeing Sha'Carri Richardson not being able to get it done on the women's side, does it change how you feel about Noah Lyles? Is there any extra pressure on him to you know, look, world's fastest woman is now from St. Lucia. And world's fastest man, is that still going to be an American? There's some real questions after a couple of Jamaican runners and I mean, Cashane, Oblique Seville. I mean, there are a lot of fast guys out there, and there's not a lot of room for error. Any concern about Noah Lyles not being able to get this done?
Yes, absolutely. There's concern. Yeah. What are you talking about?
There should be.
And I'm sorry, Abe. When has it been a guarantee that American Male was always going to win the 100 to 200? I mean, it's always great competition.
Yeah,
always great competition.
Before Usain Bolt, when it was Justin Gatlin, Maurice Greene, that was...
We had a nice little...
2004. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it didn't feel like there was much threat to them. You were like, is it going to be Gatlin? Or I'm trying to remember if he ran against Tyson Gay, the timelines there. But like it was that's how... It's been 20 years since you were like, I'm pretty sure an American is the fastest guy on Earth. Recently?
No.
It's always been Usain Bolt from 2008 on. It had been Usain Bolt. Last time out, obviously Marcel Jacobs surprised everyone. But even right now, like a year ago, I would have said it's Noah Lyles or Fred Curley's to lose. But Cashane Thompson of Jamaica came out of nowhere with a 9.77, and then he backed that up in the first round of the 100. So he's going to be tough to beat. He's the one. Well, the U.S. women did hold on in the 4x100 medley relay. They smoke Australia and the rest of the field. A world record. And for those of you who maybe haven't been paying attention, first off, it's a little late to start paying attention to swimming now. It's like two races left. That might have been it, actually. Tori Husk for the United States just had an incredible run of results here. And so congratulations to her. Gretchen Walsh had a couple and the whole medley team there. So another world record in that one. Very, very cool. I also just saw a tweet from FIBA 3v3 basketball. The Netherlands are heading to the semifinals, and they do so, unfortunately, by beating the USA team 21-6. Men's 3x3 basketball put up 6 points in a loss to the Netherlands. That is, I hesitated to say this word yesterday. I'm going to go ahead and say it today. That's pathetic, man. And it doesn't have to be like that. Like, it should be so easy to find three dudes that can win it. Again, like, What is Jaylen Brown doing? Like, he's not going to tear those Netherlands? He can't beat the best three players in the Netherlands? And I already said it. In L.A. 2028, LeBron, Durant, and Curry should be your 3x3 team. I don't care if they're out the league. I don't. They're going to tear these dudes up. What are we waiting on? I'll tell you what we are waiting on, and that is Noah Lyles in the 100 meters. Semifinals are coming up in a little bit, so hoping to see him advance. But before that, we got some other stuff to take care of. We're finishing out the rounds of the 400 meters, and so these are just the prelims, so we're all qualifying heats. Again, welcome back into the Abe TL Show. It's Abe Gordon here, and certainly if you've heard at all, the Olympics are going on, and they are like my lifeblood right now. And look, at different times, I live for different things, and sometimes it's a very odd sporting event. Certainly when the World Cup is on, I'm not going to miss a match. Like, I will not miss a match. I will wake up at whatever time need be and deal with it, and that's kind of what's happening right now. Alarm hit very early this morning to watch some of the track and field. I was watching the women's 400-meter hurdles. I'll get to that in just a moment. I was watching the men 110. And, boy, my guy, the Flamingo, Grant Holloway, is looking good. He is looking real good. So, again, the early stages there, but we'll see what happens as we move forward. Speaking of the women's, let's go there real quick. The women's 400-meter hurdle, they're getting close to narrowing down the field, but it's really down to two people. It is Sydney McLaughlin of Roney of the United States, the current world record holder. And it is Femke Bol of the Netherlands. And I don't know how many of you had an opportunity to see the 4x400 mixed relay yesterday, but Femke Bol announced herself to, and look, those of us who have been passionate about track and followed it have known about Femke Bol for a couple of years now. But for some, it was their first time finding out that there is a young lady in the Netherlands who can hawk down almost anyone she wants. And yesterday she shined in the 4x400. She nabbed an incredible anchor leg as they passed the United States there in the final. So that's what you got. Speaking of the short distances, Sha'Carri Richardson, silver medal. And it may seem disappointing, and it is disappointing, but I don't know what else she could have done. I don't want to take anything away from Julian Alfred, who was an incredibly deserving gold medal winner. She beat Sha'Carri Richardson in the semis. She then beat her again in the finals, and Melissa Jefferson of the U.S. able to snag a bronze. And we mentioned it coming up soon. Noah Lyles, Kenny Bednarik, Fred Curley in the men's 100 meters. That's probably 6 or 7 minutes away from getting going. So we're going to keep an eye on that. The one guy I thought was I don't remember if it was you or it was Oren or Dom. I talked about, like, if I had $1,000 or whatever money you want it to be, and I had to bet it on one person or team to win an event for the Olympics, I said, and this is why people look at me like, why do you even know that? I said Ryan Crouser in the shot put was going to be my guy.
He just did it, right?
He did yesterday. Yeah, they're re-airing a little bit of it.
He's a big boy.
Yeah, and he's won the last two gold medals, and he had a slight injury, but he was in pretty good form at the U.S. Olympic trials, too. And so I was like, that's my guy. If I had to get one guy, it would have been him. And it would have been Grant Holloway, but, like, you can nick a hurdle, and I get nervous about that. But he's, like, very clearly the best hurdler in the 110s. But Ryan Crouser, and so he won his third straight shot put. But the real drama wasn't Crouser winning gold. It was Joe Kovacs, also an American, winning the silver.
Right, yeah.
It started to rain after about the third round. And so everyone's throw was in a downpour. And obviously, when you're spinning at the speed you need to spin at to get the shot put the distance you need, very difficult to keep your footing. There were a lot of red flags, which means you fouled on the throw. And Joe Kovacs was out of medal position until his very last throw. He hossed one out there, and he jumped all the way into silver. Unfortunately, it did knock an American out of the bronze medal position. The Jamaican also got bumped down from silver to bronze. But Joe Kovacs with a silver there in the men's shot put. Early this morning, Scotty Scheffler shot a course record 62 in the final round, as he wins the Olympic golfing gold medal. Just an incredible performance for him. And odd back nine for John Rahm, who had a three-shot lead turning there and just could not hold on. You also had Djokovic, and I talked about the highlights of the morning today. Certainly Scotty Scheffler, but also the men's gold medal tennis match. It was everything you wanted it to be. Djokovic and Alcaraz. It was Novak Djokovic in straight sets, but both of those sets went to a tiebreak. It was about as close as a straight set victory as you could have. So really good stuff there. Also yesterday, after I went off air, Katie Ledecky won the 800 meters for the fourth straight time. There is a very short list of athletes that have won the same event in four straight Olympics. I know Michael Phelps has done it. I want to say that was in the 200 medley, but it may have been the 400 IM. Carl Lewis did it in the long jump. And now Katie Ledecky has done it in the 800. Now, remember, they didn't have the 1500. They haven't been holding that for four Olympics. So she would have in that race as well. And so there's that. But she obviously did not win the 400 free. She won the 1500. And the 800 was like that middle distance, like, can Arianne Titmus stick with her? Not far off, but not quite. And then Suni Lee this morning. You know, they're doing, we talked about it, the apparatus finals. And Simone Biles won the vault yesterday. Suni Lee this morning got a bronze medal in uneven bars. So good for her. We talked about the men's 3x3 team. They got obliterated by the Netherlands. The women's 3x3 team seems to have started doing a couple things right. They've played their way into the knockout rounds as well. And then congrats to, among others, Chase Buttinger, the former NBAer, former McDonald's All-American. He and his partner in beach volleyball, all four beach volleyball teams for the U.S. have reached the quarterfinal stage. And so really cool stuff there. I was watching that match. It was one of the last events to be aired yesterday. So two men's and two women's teams in beach volleyball advance. And look, I'm just so pumped still. Like, we got the 100 coming up. We had the 200-meter women's early this morning among some of the other events that were being run. We got some distance runs coming up, which you guys know I love. We got the torturous 800s. That's the worst run possible. It really is. We'll get a little Jakob Ingebrigtsen action, who's from Norway, one of the elite middle distance runners on earth. Looking forward to him. And coming up in just a couple of minutes is Noah Lyles here. And Eric, I want to ask you, after seeing Sha'Carri Richardson not being able to get it done on the women's side, does it change how you feel about Noah Lyles? Is there any extra pressure on him to you know, look, world's fastest woman is now from St. Lucia. And world's fastest man, is that still going to be an American? There's some real questions after a couple of Jamaican runners and I mean, Kashane, Oblique Seville. There are a lot of fast guys out there, and there's not a lot of room for error. Any concern about Noah Lyles not being able to get this done?
Yes, absolutely. There's concern. Yeah. What are you talking about?
There should be.
And I'm sorry, Abe. When has it been a guarantee that American male was always going to win the 100 to 200? I mean, it's always great competition.
Yeah,
always great competition.
Before Usain Bolt, when it was Justin Gatlin, Maurice Greene,
we had a nice little
2000, 2004. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it didn't feel like there was much threat to them. You were like, is it going to be Gatlin? Or I'm trying to remember if he ran against Tyson Gay, the timelines there. But like, that's how it's been 20 years since you were like, I'm pretty sure an American is the fastest guy on earth. Recently?
No.
It's always been Usain Bolt from 2008 on. It had been Usain Bolt. Last time out, obviously Marcel Jacobs surprised everyone. But even right now, like, a year ago, I would have said it's Noah Lyles or Fred Curley's to lose. But Kashane Thompson of Jamaica came out of nowhere with a 9.77, and then he backed that up in the first round of the 100. So he's going to be tough to beat. He's the one that scares me the most. Not saying he's the only guy that can beat Lyles or the other Americans, by the way, because I think Kenny Bednarik, Kung Fu Kenny, and I think Fred Curley are both real threats to Noah Lyles as well. Both of them legitimate threats. If I had to go outside of the U.S., though, Kashane Thompson's the one that scares me.
Is the men's track and field and these events, are these the funnest moments of the Olympics for you?
Track and field in general is. The 100 is not. I love
the
distance.
Two, the four?
Well, there are certain the events.
1600?
Well, they run a 1500. Okay. And yes, that is going to be one of the elite events between.
That's one of the final events.
Josh
right?
Kerr of the U.K., and Jakob Ingebrigtsen of Norway. There are a couple of distance or length events that are really interesting. The men's 400-meter hurdles with Rai Benjamin and Karsten Werholm, they're both so far better than everyone else. The same thing with the women. We mentioned Femke Bol and Sydney McLaughlin of Roni. Like, it's a two-woman race. But those two women are going to put it on a show, and I do expect a world record to be broken. So a lot still to come. We're going to see where Noah Lyles ends up. They are about to take the track for the men's 100-meter semis. Remember, just the semis. The finals will be in a couple hours from now. So we'll talk about that. We'll also go outside the perimeter on the other side. It's the Abe TL Show. Abe Gordon here, chatting Olympics and chatting everything else on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.